Mark Ancos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is James Brooks, the director and webmaster for Vermonters for a Just Peace in Palestine and Israel. You can find that website at www.vtjp, that's vtjp.org, and he's been talking with me today about a variety of things related to the Middle East and Palestine and neoconservative foreign policy, the so-called Salvadoran solution in South America and how that's being employed in the Middle East and in Palestine. And we've also been chatting about the dime bomb, D-I-M-E, and what that means in terms of depleted uranium and pure uranium weapons and tungsten alloys and other things that have produced arguably a new weapon on the part of the State of Israel in terms of its occupation of Gaza. And it makes you wonder what may turn up next with the utilization of that weapon, potentially in a tragedy that might conceivably be unfolding with the nation of Iran. Let's pray that that's wrong. But this Debka file report, which has come out in the last 2 days, talking about the dispatch of an additional aircraft carrier task force, the USS John C. Stennis, to the region to complement two task forces already out there, and now the deployment of some amphibious ships, that suggests in conjunction with Admiral Fallon's transfer from SyncPAC to CENTCOM that we may be seeing the beginning of an emergence of an expansion of this whole situation into a preemptive operation with Iran. Let's hope that that's wrong, but that's certainly what it looks like. Rita, I would simply say in regard to your comments before the break that if you have any access to that information online, send it to me through markdankoff.com. You go to my website, MarkDankoff, markdankoff.com, and there's a provision there to email me. And if you can email me with some of that information, I'll certainly take a look at it. And I think it certainly begs the question as to the extent of the influence of the Israeli lobby in American educational and political circles, governmental circles, military circles, and, of course, what we've talked about before on this show in terms of the emerging alliance between the American Christian right and the Israeli lobby, chiefly due to the influence of something called dispensationalism, which sometime we may do an entire show on with a gentleman in England that I have contacted who is a recognized authority on that subject. When that show occurs, I will let you know, and he will unfold for us what I think is the larger ideological agenda of a particular brand of biblical interpretation that has been used to support some things that specifically are not Christian, in my judgment, and are certainly not in the interest of the United States or of the world. James, getting back to what we were talking about earlier in the show, do you think that this whole situation with Iran is not simply a question of Israel wanting that present government removed, but it, again, is it another diversionary tactic in that it would cause the world to focus upon Iran and to get away from Palestine and Gaza and the West Bank?
Well, most of the strategic thinking and writing about Israel's position in the Middle East from the Zionist or pro-Israel point of view has focused on strategic threats. Iraq, under Saddam Hussein, was seen as a standing strategic threat to Israel. Iran is the last significant standing strategic threat to Israel. Syria can't seriously be regarded by itself as a strategic threat to Israel. But certainly, since the Iranian Revolution in 1979, Israelis have been very wary of Iran. And during the last 10 to 15 years, Israeli strategists and Zionist boosters have tended to single out Iran as being a special threat that Israel needs to take care of.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. Just basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jog a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is James Brooks, director and webmaster for Vermonters for a Just Peace in Palestine and Israel. You can find that website at www.vtjp.org. That's www.vtjp.org. And James, before the break, we were talking about the fact that Israel, particularly since the fall of the Shah of Iran in 1979, has perceived Iran to be a burgeoning strategic threat, particularly in the last 15 years. Now, estimates vary in regard to how close Iran is to having an operational nuclear weapon, particularly one that could be delivered the distance between Tehran and Tel Aviv or Jerusalem. Does Israel base its current posture toward that country solely on the basis of present ideological hostilities, or are they looking at an Iranian nuclear threat that is 1 year away, 5 years away, 10 years away? What do you think?
Well, CIA and estimates, and those also by Mossad, have been in the range of 7 to 10 years, probably. until Iran has a single deliverable nuclear warhead. Now, we could argue about that. Probably some people could bring up other intelligence estimates that would lengthen or shorten that period. I think one of the critical things to keep in mind here is that nuclear safety in terms of nuclear weapons has, ever since the end of our war on Japan, been based on deterrence. That it's been understood that anybody who possessed a nuclear weapon would understand that if they used it and another party could, you know, their opponent could use a weapon against them, that no one could win the conflict. It's not a tenable situation. You can't get one, a nuclear war started, unless you're absolutely sure that you can deter and prevent any significant retaliation. Now, Israel has the sine qua non of nuclear deterrence. It has the ability to launch nuclear weapons from land, sea, and air. It has German submarines that it has purchased and fitted with nuclear missiles. It has a range of options in terms of delivering nuclear weapons by air, and it has hardened missile silos. So nobody can attack Israel with a nuclear device without the certainty that they would receive an overwhelming response, because it's impossible to knock out Israel's nuclear arsenal. Part of it is under sea. So the whole question of nuclear deterrence appears to have flown completely out the window, however, when we talk about Iran. The game is, how soon will they have it? And then if they have it, well, obviously then there's going to be some real danger. The people in Iran are not, you know, collectively crazy. Their government is not crazy. And they aren't interested in self-immolation at the hands of Israel. But that is exactly what would happen if they attempted to use any nuclear device. So the only rational way of evaluating the situation is that the nuclear balance in the Middle East has been out of whack since the early 60s, when it was known that Israel was putting together a nuclear arsenal in direct violation of what was later the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and other treaties related to nuclear weapons. And ever since that time, there's been this power vacuum in terms of nuclear balance and deterrence. Now, it's always been U.S. policy that nuclear power, you know, nuclear weapons needed to be held in a balanced fashion, that if you have a conflict area, it's very unstable to have one nuclear power and its opponents, they have no capability whatsoever. But that has been the case in Southwest Asia ever since the 1960s. It's probable that the regime in Tehran wants to proceed to a point where they will be able to have some nuclear deterrence that would balance Israel's program. That is a long ways off. That's much further off than 10 years, because to provide an actual system of nuclear deterrence requires, you know, a lot more work than getting one warhead. So what's the game here? Why is Israel, and it's very clear, you know, I follow the Israeli press every day, I process dozens of stories out of the Israeli press every day, so I've been watching this all unfold. It was striking to me, for instance, immediately following the U.S. invasion of Iraq in March 2003, Israeli comment went from, boy, it's really important that they take out Saddam, to, let's talk about Iran. Iran is really the key strategic threat now. And that's been the drumbeat ever since. And we know that the lobby in the U.S. has been pressuring the political establishment very hard to consider an Iranian nuclear weapon to be absolutely unacceptable, and to urge a strike, if, you know, if nothing else works, to take out the Iranian nuclear weapon. Prime Minister Omar, just last year, came to Congress and basically, you know, read them the Riot Act, that if we weren't going to get any diplomatic traction with Iran to stop their nuclear program, we had to defend Israel by striking against their nuclear complex. So clearly we're not talking about a serious threat against the state of Israel. What we're talking about is the last man standing that can pose even a deterrent threat in the future against the state of Israel. And that's what they want to eliminate.
Yes, and it seems to me as you look at this whole circumstance, I certainly accept the idea that Iran is a minimum of 7 to 10 years away from having any kind of a deliverable nuclear device. That's number one. Number two, you have the irony of the fact that Iran is a signatory to the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty, which Israel is not, that Israel is the chief nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons power in the region, and that as we look at this whole thing, it seems to me that if American diplomacy was not in the hands of the obvious players that we have already identified on this broadcast time and again, we might be looking at a situation where an American president and an American State Department and an American national security establishment not enthralled with the Israeli lobby would be prepared to come forth with a proposal to Iran that would say, hey, look, if you will allow us a greater degree in the international community of inspection of your program to ensure that it does not have military applicability, we in turn will insist that the Israeli nuclear and biological and chemical weapons capability be subject to IAEA scrutiny, that Israel be forced to support the and to sign the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty, and to be subject to the same kinds of strictures that we are basically asking you to subject yourself to. And at the same time, the American establishment, political establishment, would also be on solid ground, it seems to me, at that point, in saying to Israel, we're not only going to cease being bellicose about this with Tehran, but we are going to insist that the Israeli program in the nuclear and biological and chemical areas be subjected to all of these international programs of scrutiny. And we are also going to insist, once and for all, that there be a legitimate negotiation between Israel and the Palestinians that gives the Palestinians a viable, independent state that they control, and where they control their economy, they control their security forces, they have secure borders, they are not simply isolated cantons that are being occupied by Israeli troops. And if this doesn't occur, the United States is prepared to reassess its past support of the state of Israel. And yet we're obviously never going to see that, are we?
No, well, what you just described is a strategy, a policy package that would be pointed towards stabilizing the region. That's really what's needed to achieve a political stabilization, that is balancing the forces, giving the different players an opportunity to deal on a level playing field. And that's really the last thing that U.S. policymakers want. I think we should remember in this threatening conflict that this is not simply a neoconservative Republican project. And the Democratic Party has historically, actually for longer than the Republican Party, been a servant of pro-Israeli policy. The Democratic kingmaker emerged in this 2006 elections, last November, was Rahm Emanuel, a representative from Illinois, whose father apparently was an Irgun terrorist participating in the terror campaigns against the British and Palestinians in the late 1940s.
Matter of fact, I remember reading that Rahm Emanuel's father, wasn't he involved in the participation in the bombing of the King David Hotel in 1948?
That's been alleged by one of his former colleagues. That's correct. Rahm Emanuel spent time in his youth in Israel and went back there to serve. Apparently, this is the report that I've read, with the Israeli Defense Forces during the 1991 Gulf War.
We will be back. Let's take up the subject of Rahm Emanuel when Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for James Brooks, chairman of Vermonters for a Just Peace in Palestine and Israel.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, in herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, a few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is James Brooks of Vermonters for a Just Peace in Palestine and Israel. James, before the break, we were talking a little bit about Rahm Emanuel, who is now the chairman of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. And, of course, he is a Democrat congressman from Illinois, from the 5th District of Illinois in Chicago. And I was unaware of his background until recent months when, in doing some research on him, his whole linkage to the State of Israel and to the Israeli intelligence community and his father's alleged link to all of these goings-on with the Irgun and these terrorist activities on the part of Israel against the British in 1948 suddenly came to the fore. When we look at Rahm Emanuel, just as one example, Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer also come to mind in regard to Israeli assets up on Capitol Hill and high places in the Democratic Party. Aren't we talking about a situation where realistically both of the major political parties in the United States are controlled to a large extent by the Israeli lobby when it comes to our Middle Eastern situation? And to what extent are organizations like yours really fighting an uphill battle in trying to get the American public to see what the agenda is?
Yeah, it certainly has been an uphill battle. Anybody who would question that both parties are in the pocket of the Israeli lobby when it comes to Middle East foreign policy has to account for the overwhelming support for any pro-Israel resolution or bill that comes before Congress. The numbers are just appalling. We saw during the war in Lebanon last year when the human rights groups, the UN, was saying, you know, this is just a grossly disproportionate force that Israel is using against Lebanese civilians bombing Beirut and claiming that they were fighting Hezbollah. It was the Congress, both houses of Congress, that stood up and cheered almost, you know, unanimously for Israel's war in Lebanon. And actually, you know, there were Democratic players who were squelching any effort to even suggest that Israel try to avoid civilian casualties. That was a non-starter for that bill. And that bill was passed in the House, I believe, 8 days after the war started, when it was evident to the entire world what was going on. That's just one of many, many examples. So the power of AIPAC to drive the decisions of this government when it comes to Israel itself is non-debatable. The chances are, you know, wherever you live in the country, the chances are about 19 to 1 that your congressman or representative votes for Israel at every opportunity. That's how lopsided the votes are down in Washington. So are we fighting an uphill battle? Definitely. Are we making some headway? I think we are. I thought the publication of Jimmy Carter's new book was a kind of a watershed, especially since it followed the publication of the Walt Mearsheimer prospectus on the Israel lobby back in the middle of last year. We're starting to see things shake up on kind of both ends of the spectrum. We know that the solid conservatives like Pat Buchanan have been aware of this problem for a long time. Now we're starting to see elements of the liberal left starting to get the message, and it's starting to be quite a bit more acceptable in some leftist quarters to criticize Israel and to say that we have to end this domination of Israeli interests in Middle Eastern foreign policy.
Do you think that this will emerge as a full-blown coalition of American right and left against this alliance? Do you see that as a possibility that, say, people like Buchanan on the right would be joined by certain forces on the left, and that there could be, in a way that there hasn't been up to now, a really significant left-right anti-war coalition emerging, particularly in the context of all of this talk of an expansion of this conflict into Iran? And now these hints that there may eventually be the reestablishment of a draft?
Well, I think that the efforts of people like Pat Buchanan have certainly woken up members of the left to the fact that they have natural allies on foreign policy issues with the true conservatives. I think that's been a good wake-up call. Will there be some sort of grand coalition that will start to put that kind of pressure in? It's hard to say. The true conservatives have very limited presence in Congress and virtually no presence in the administration. Shall we call them anti-Israeli leftists and Democrats, are still a minority and still don't have any real political traction within the legitimate political system, that is. Can you get birth in a Democratic political primary and get elected to Congress if you're openly anti-Israel? Not at this time.
Yes. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with James Brook of Vermonters for a Just Peace in Palestine and Israel when we return. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Mark Dancos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is James Brooks of Vermonters for a Just Peace in Palestine and Israel. We have a caller, Sterling in Utah. You're on the line for James Brooks. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. I'm coming out of a micro station in Fountain Green, Utah, and I appreciate your guest. I just had a question concerning the Iraq or Iran situation. Is it a straw man argument about them developing nuclear weapons when I couldn't they just get a couple here and there from China or Russia or Pakistan?
You mean couldn't the Iranians pick up a weapon?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. You know, I mean, they have a couple stored away already, and if they do set one off here and there or whatever, is there a signature saying that, possibly where they came from or?
Well, I know that U.S. specialists claim that they are able to detect nuclear signatures to a high degree. So, yeah, that's an issue for anybody who wants to supply a weapon to Iran.
What about that,
it might be traceable.
Now, however, what about the situation where they could come back and say, well, some terrorist group got them and we had nothing to do with them? I mean, I personally think that Iran is probably no more of a threat than we are to any other country. But the fact is that I think Iran is probably not suicidal in the sense of a mad doctrine that we possibly have still.
Right. Certainly not suicidal. I can't think of any country in the world that's, suicidal.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I keep on hearing these arguments, and then now I see how crowded it's becoming in the Persian Gulf, and I'm thinking to myself, well, something's up.
Yeah, so yes, it is a straw man argument. I mean, put in any conventional strategic terms, it's a straw man argument. It doesn't add up. It's not logical. You could still have the argument that, well, maybe they want to supply a terrorist who will, somehow secretly, without trace, detonate a weapon in Israel. Okay? And that's sort of the last gasp effort there. Well, anybody who wanted to do that would be much more inclined to look into Pakistan, Central Asia, and the vast amount of nuclear materials that have leaked out, been sold out, been stolen from the former Soviet Union arsenal. We've been seeing those reports for many years now, coming out of Europe and out of Asia, about different nuclear materials on the loose. There really isn't a shortage of any determined global terrorists of nuclear materials to get their hands on if somebody really wants to do that. And Iran is not required in that mix. And there's no sense in current policy against Iran in terms of an effort to reduce the threat of nuclear terrorism. Nuclear terrorism is essentially unstoppable. It is possible to put a dirty bomb or a small nuclear device in a small package and smuggle it in just about anywhere if you're really determined to do that. So the only real option to stopping nuclear terrorism is a serious effort at nuclear nonproliferation and a serious effort at de-escalation of the ideological, economic, and political conflicts. You can't force a country against the wall and expect it to become more stable and more peaceful. You're going to get a response. Like I say, this policy is not about stability.
Yeah. Hey, I appreciate both of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sterling. Well, in this whole situation, it seems to me as well that another angle on this is that when India and Pakistan acquired nuclear bombs, the United States, as near as I can tell, did virtually nothing. And certainly India and Pakistan were not subjected to what we're about to subject Iran to.
Well, in fact, current U.S. policy with India is over the top. India is not a party to the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty. It's been in direct violation of it. Developed its own secret program, just like Israel did. And now it's reaping the rewards. Now it's getting nuclear expertise and materials from the United States without any serious quid pro quo. This is potentially destabilizing the balance that exists between India and Pakistan. So the people in India have reason to feel that, hey, we did the right thing. We're just like Israel. We violated the international law. We didn't participate in the non-proliferation treaty. And we got the rewards. Countries that did participate in the NPT, like Iran, and opened their facilities to inspection, are getting the sanctions. Now, who is the biggest purchaser of Israeli-made armaments in 2006, India. India and Israel have been working on a strategic and economic alliance for several years now, and it continues to flower. This is something that's making people in the Persian Gulf very nervous, because you're seeing, Iran is already encircled by U.S. clients and military bases. And now the perimeter is opening up. Israel, India, and the U.S. are forming a tripartite alliance in the region.
Well, I tell you, as I look at this whole situation, I go back to what Paul Craig Roberts was talking about at antiwar.com yesterday, in a piece that's still there entitled, Is Bush's War Winding Down or Heating Up? The Coming Attack on Iran. And there, Dr. Roberts goes on, of course, to cite this January 7th article in the London Times, which has reported that it has learned from, quote, several Israeli military sources, unquote, that, quote, Israel has drawn up secret plans to destroy Iran's uranium enrichment facilities with tactical nuclear weapons, unquote. The Israeli Foreign Ministry denied the report. The couple of things that come to my mind as I go through this this post by Paul Craig Roberts, he goes on to indicate in this same article that the London Times post in that report of the alleged statement of Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who allegedly declared that Israel must be wiped off the map.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dr. Roberts goes on to say that it has been shown by a number of credible experts that this quote is a made-up concoction taken completely out of context. Ahmadinejad, in the words of Paul Craig Roberts, said no such thing. Is this an indication, again, of the type of demonization of the regime and the demonization of the Iranian psyche generally that is being utilized as a cover for what may be about to happen?
Well, it certainly smells like him. Dr. Roberts is absolutely correct that experts in Farsi, which is the language spoken in Iran, pointed out that that statement in which Ahmadinejad supposedly said Israel must be wiped off the face of the map was actually a quote from the Ayatollah Khomeini prior to his death. And that this is a standard practice by Iranian politicians, quoting the imam, using his language to support their own, you know, political angles. And Ahmadinejad clearly was wishing to stoke domestic public opinion behind his party and his presidency, and quoted the Ayatollah. Now, when that's translated properly from Farsi, as it used to be, I mean, when the Ayatollah first said it more than 20 years ago, it comes out more like Israel should be erased from the pages of history. And this reflects a strong feeling by a number of people, and you know, the Iranians are certainly not the only ones, who feel that the Jewish state as currently constructed, which is a state for Jews only, in which only Jews can have full citizenship, is an untenable situation. It's not going to work long-term in the Middle East. And there are many, you know, honest Zionist Israeli citizens, commentators, thinkers, who said the same thing. Said that, you know, the gig is up on the Zionist expansion, the dream, and at some point we're going to have to come to terms with our neighbors, and we're going to have to come to terms with the 1.2 million Arabs who live in Israel, and we're going to have to stop treating them like third-class citizens. So this is Ahmadinejad's defense of his statement. Clearly, he's gone out of his way to be incendiary. I don't think there's any question about that. On the other hand, he has made it clear, and other Iranian politicians have made it clear, that no, they don't have any intention of attacking Israel. They're not stupid. But they would like to see a reconciliation of the Jewish project in Israel with its Arab neighbors so that Jews and Arabs could live together in peace once again, the way they did 100 years ago.
Yes, and you also have a situation which I think you've already mentioned, James, and that is that from the Iranian point of view, they're looking at, 20,000 American troops and 20,000 NATO troops in Afghanistan. They're looking at, if the president's proposal for 20,000 additional troops in Iraq goes through, which I'm sure it will, we're looking at least 150,000 American troops on their western border in Iraq. Then there's all of the machinations that we've been speaking of before on this broadcast in regard to what the Israelis and the British and the United States are apparently doing in Azerbaijan. And the list kind of goes on in terms of American military installations in some of the Stan countries surrounding the Caspian Sea. looking at from Ahmadinejad's perspective, between the overt threats that have been issued against his country on behalf of certain people in the American national security establishment and the Israeli establishment, on top of the geopolitical configuration as we've outlined it here, the point is that he may have some very good reason to feel threatened.
Oh, yeah. It's the Iranians who have every reason to feel threatened. And the Israelis, frankly, don't have a logical or serious reason to feel threatened by Iran. I'm sorry, but that's the case. There's a huge military imbalance between the two powers, even if you discount Israel's nuclear arsenal. And as you pointed out, Iran is surrounded by U.S. clients. And that's what the Iraq War did, by the way. It completed the encirclement of Iran. And nobody could, you know, stand there and look at the globe and look at the situation and not wonder whether Iran wasn't the next target. Well, of course, I'm sure your listeners know that powerful players in the Bush administration foreign policy network were writing that plan 10 years ago for then Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel, that we would take on Iraq and we would attack Iran. Now, the country that would do this for Israel was not named in that planning document, but, of course, the people who were writing the document were U.S. policy experts. So it's, you know, there are many different streams, no matter how you look at this, that point in the same direction, that some kind of confrontation with Iran is right over the horizon. And when Israeli politicians, like the foreign ministry, denies that there's any interest in striking Iran, it doesn't really pass the smell test, especially when every week there are highly placed Israeli strategists, the head of Mossad, bigwigs in the Israeli Defense Forces General Staff, who come out either on the record or off the record saying force is going to be the only option that's going to work with Iran. There's going to be no political solution to this. The sanctions aren't going to work. Force is the only option, and sooner better than later. Now, if, you know, the whole Israeli establishment is saying this, it kind of stretches credulity to think that they don't have a plan like the one reported in the Sunday Times that you just spoke of, which is to do a successive wave of bombing runs against Iranian nuclear installations.
In terms of not just the political fallout from this, but in terms of your own research into this, James, and the other folks connected with your organization up there in Vermont, if we attack these nuclear power plant sites in Iran, I know there's one at Natanz, there's one in Isfahan, there's one in the outskirts of Tehran. Depending on whose estimates you're reading, let's say that there are at least 10 to 15 really significant sites over there, as near as I can tell, that in many cases are near significant civilian populations. If there is an action from the air on the part of either the United States or Israel that attempts to bomb those sites, keeping in mind that Lieutenant General William Odom said the other day that the aerial strikes would have limited effectiveness because of the hardened character of these nuclear sites, so that the Israelis, for example, would have a much more difficult time with this than they did with the Osirak reactor in Iraq in 1981. Even aside from the issue of the hardening of the sites, do you foresee massive numbers of civilian casualties, or what the military likes to call collateral damage, coming out of this?
Well, I don't know. I'm not an expert in these low-yield nuclear bunker busters. I think it's an open question whether the extent of radiation sickness and radiation poisoning already sown in Iraq and Afghanistan wouldn't exceed the possible casualties from the direct strikes that are being anticipated by the U.S. and Israel. It's possible. We have tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of people affected by this now. birth defects, cancer, leukemia, all skyrocketing rates in these theaters of war directly related to these weapons that we've been using since 1991. What will be the casualties? I know that U.S. military thinkers have said that it can't end with a bombing run. It can't end with a wave of bombing runs. We could bomb them for 2 weeks, and we will still have to put boots on the ground and go in and do more work.
Now, exactly. You've just anticipated my next question. So that if I'm on the same wavelength with you, and certainly Lieutenant General William Odom said this the other day when he was making these statements for the Nieman Foundation at Harvard University, there would have to be a follow-up conventional military invasion. I'd like to follow up on that with you briefly, James, when we come back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
People who use Cartabyte know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartabyte has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartabyte.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartabyte, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for a regular jog, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartabyte link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is James Brooks, director and webmaster for Vermonters for a Just Peace in Palestine and Israel. James, we've got about 5 or 6 minutes left. Let's set this out in terms of this Iran situation. Now, certainly the off-year elections in November were widely interpreted as an American public's rejection of the way this Iraq war was going, something of a message indicating to our political leadership that we need to get out of this thing in some way, shape, or form, that we need to change course without necessarily knowing precisely what that's supposed to be. Now we have a situation where the president is talking tonight, apparently, about putting an additional 20,000 troops into Iraq. We have a circumstance emerging where quite clearly with these latest dispatches of naval forces to the Persian Gulf, where there's some very serious saber-rattling going on with Iran. Lieutenant General William Odom said to Harvard University the other day that if this aerial campaign against Iran goes through, that there would need to be boots on the ground in Iran, which he certainly was not recommending. He thought the whole policy was simply idiotic, but he was simply saying that if they hit him from the air, they've got to follow with ground troops. In the event that that happens, much to the chagrin of people like Pat Buchanan and Lieutenant General William Odom, if that happens, how many boots on the ground do you think they're talking about, and what must they be thinking if they're having trouble with Iraq, a nation of 26 million people, having trouble pacifying that area with 150,000 troops. Iran has 70 million people plus. Over half of that population is under 30. The Iranians demonstrated their resolve, certainly, with the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps people in the 1980 to 1988 war with Iraq. How many boots are we talking about, and what's the reaction of the American public going to be to this?
Well, not a military guy. You know, like you say, if you look at the Iraq-Iran war and the incredible bloodshed involved and the incredible determination on both sides, particularly on the Iranian side, we don't have that many troops in the military, okay? To go in where we don't have the lines of supply, they have them. You're talking about invading somebody's country nearly halfway around the world. Nobody knows. I read a couple of years ago that every time the War College, the Army War College, had war-gamed an invasion of Iran, the thing not only was a disaster, but when it went out of control. These war games, they try to plug in all the political and geostrategic parameters and see, you know, how other players would react. And no matter how they set up the preconditions for the game, each time it goes out of control. But this isn't going to stop people like George Bush or the people in Israel.
Yes, this is my reading of it, and the end game at this point is absolutely unknown. We'll watch the Bush speech tonight. We'll watch what's happening with those naval task forces out of the Persian Gulf and pray that there's an alternative to what seems to be developing. James Brooks, thank you. Mark Dankos, America, has been very pleased to have Vermonters for a Just Peace in Palestine and Israel on the air today. We sign off live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. See you tomorrow.
Attention, friends of freedom and liberty. Our constitutional republic is under a vicious attack by the sinister forces of world globalization. The hour is late, and we must all actively engage our families, friends, and neighbors before it's too late. Now you can exercise your constitutional right of free speech with a statement t-shirt from the Republic Broadcasting Network and NoTyranny.com. Wearing a statement t-shirt causes people to think, challenge, and debate what they've been spoon-fed by the controlled corporate media. There's no time to sit around in fear asking yourself, what can I do? Now is the time to make a strong public statement with one of the many t-shirts from Republic Broadcasting Network and NoTyranny.com. Go to RBNLive.com's Freedom Store, NoTyranny.com. or call 800-724-2719.
You're listening to RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
RBN.com.